where that John saw Jesus. John saw him and he longed to be in his presence. Revelation, again, we talked about it a little bit this morning, how that it was the unveiling or the revealing those things, if you will, to that were hidden. It also goes and it talks about a word that means to take the cover off, if you will, an uncovering or a unveiling. And you can go into the history and you can read a whole lot of that. So this evening, I want to kindly backpedal for just a second before I go forward this evening, because we ended up over in the book of Luke, and I just want to talk about that for a minute, kindly just to get myself acclimated for a moment. When they were there and they were on the road to Emmaus, we can see that where that when those that was there, Cleophas and the others that was there and the ladies that was there, that they saw Jesus, or excuse me, they went and wanted to see Jesus at the tomb. And then there was a mystery about that all, because they really didn't know when they went there and they actually told them that Jesus had risen from the dead. The question was, did he really? Did he really? But it was there when these disciples was there and Jesus went and he seen them. And when the Cleophas and the other went there and they said their eyes was opened and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. Verse 32 is kindly where I ended up this morning, and that's kindly where we've been at throughout this day. That when they see this in Luke 24 and 32, and when I use the terminology that they had holy heartburn, I said, oh God, give us holy heartburn. Let our hearts burn within us until we see Jesus. And again, that is what this whole entire day has been about, that we might see Jesus. Jesus, again, when we look in the book of Revelation, it was that scripture that where that Jesus is the person being revealed in the book of Revelation. As I said this morning, all the way throughout history and from the fall of man in the garden, how that man fell and how that we can see man and how that man has been all the way out through the generation to generation. Sin has touched every heart of every person. But yet, my friend, when we look at the end of the book of Revelation, where that it seems like that man lost their fellowship with God through Jesus the Son. You can read it there at the book, at the end of the book, where all things have been restored. And God, once again, through his Son, has brought a revelation to the heart of man. And man, once again, has been restored back unto God. I want to go back to where I ended. It was in Isaiah chapter number 6, if you will. I know this is an Old Testament theme. I know that it's an Old Testament scripture, but even those in the Old Testament had a longing. They had a desire. They had a desire to see God. They had a desire to see Jesus. And again, may I say unto you this evening, I believe everybody that is in this room this evening and everybody that came back and those that's even coming and listening online tonight, I believe there's something very much in common with everybody that's under the sound of my voice. And it is simply that we desire to see him for ourselves. History teaches us that it was in the year that King Uzziah died in Isaiah chapter number 6. History says that all the people were seemingly fixed around the kingship of Uzziah. And one commentary said that it was not until Uzziah finally was dead and finally out of the way until the people once again got their eyes off of man, the figure Uzziah, until they could finally get their eyes back upon Jesus. And please let me insert this right here, that I believe it's time and high time and past time that we get all of our eyes off of man and what man can do and what man's going to do, and fix our eyes once again up on him because he is the only one that can do anything for us in the day and the hour that we're living in. But Isaiah said, when he said this, he said, it was in the year that King Uzziah died. Look at this. I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. John saw the Lord. My prayer this evening is, oh God, let us get to the end of ourselves. Let us get to the end of all human and man-made church, if you will. And let us get our eyes focused upon Jesus once again until we truly see him. Look at what happened when they got their eyes upon him. He said, I saw also the Lord. Where did they see him? Sitting upon a throne. I'll get back into that a little bit later. High and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and above it stood the seraphims, and each of them six wings, and twain they covered their face, and twain they covered their feet, and twain they did fly. Look at this. And one unto another. Oh, that was heaven's anthem. It was heaven's anthem. And may I submit unto you this evening that once Isaiah was no longer looking at Uzziah, that he got his eyes on God, and it changed the order of the song that was sung in the temple there that day. And the angels was there, the seraphims that was crying, they were crying, holy, holy, holy. And I heard it said one time that it was the echo of heaven. And one angel here would say, holy. And then another angel would pick up and say, holy to the triune God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And all of heaven was encapsulated in the glorious anthem of holy, holy, holy. You say, preacher, what are you saying tonight? I'm simply saying this before I move on, that when the church gets her eyes upon Jesus and we see him, oh, we're not going to be able to do anything. We're not going to have time to squabble. We're not going to have time to rally for positions. We're not going to have time to do anything else in anything else that we do except declare him holy, holy, holy. I want to do that tonight in the midst of the people of God, is to cry, holy, holy, holy. Do it with me. Holy, holy, holy. One more time. Holy, holy, holy. They saw him. And when they saw him high and lifted up. The Bible said, they cried, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Look at this. And the whole earth was full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried in the house. The house was filled with smoke. We think about the smoke. We think about the Shekinah glory of God. We think about the tangible, the kabod, if you will. It's a Hebrew word, a kabod. We think about the tangible presence of God. Now, I don't know about you, and I'm not going to read the rest of that, and you can at your own time, but we can think about the kabod. We think about the presence of God, and I want to go on record as saying this, that there was times in my life that you could come into the church house, that you could come into God's house, and my friend, the glory of God was in the house. Now, this is me. I believe that people came looking for the glory. I don't know how long it's been since you come to God's house looking for Jesus. Oh, but my friend, I guarantee you tonight, if you and I will get back to the place that we will look for Jesus, I guarantee you that we will find him in our midst. Now, there's four things I want to pick up on as I move forward in this message this evening. And I hope I've got these scriptures written down correctly. Sometimes I get in too big a hurry even writing my own notes. We read in John chapter number 12 a scripture that we look there and we can see that where in verse number 20, the Gentiles was there and how the Greeks was there, and it was that great day of the feast. And how that we can see that there was a lot of activity going on there, and where that Mary had anointed Jesus, and how that they had served at Jesus' feet, if you will, and how that they were They were concerned about what had taken place in the life of Lazarus in John chapter number 11. But when they saw Lazarus, the Bible said that many of them had believed upon Jesus. And we see from there, we looking forward how that Jesus had went into Jerusalem and how that all the people had taken the palm branches, if you will, and they begin to cry, Hosanna, Hosanna, which in Aramaic, that means save us and help us now. It was a time in the life of the people of God. They knew too, if they didn't have a touch from heaven, that they too were in trouble. And I just want to submit that unto you tonight, that if you and I don't once again begin to cry out to God, Hosanna, Hosanna, and if we don't begin to cry, holy, holy, holy unto God, let me just say it like this. We're going to move the very thing that God is wanting to do in the midst of his people today. And watch this. It is that God desires to reveal himself to you and I even today. We see here in the Word of God how that they went and they cried, holy, holy, holy unto God, and blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, and all that activity that was going around there. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. Oh my goodness. The whole world is gone after Jesus. We look at that in verse number 19 of John 12, but look in verse number 20, and this is where I want to say this evening, that they might see Jesus, that the people at that time had an earnest desire that they might see Jesus. And that's my first point here tonight, that you and I, once again, we have an earnest desire that we might see Jesus. Look at this in verse number 20. And it says, And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. Look in verse number 20. And the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desiring him, saying, Sir, that we would see Jesus. We talk about the revelation. We talk about Jesus exposing himself and Jesus on the road to Emmaus. And these people at that time had an earnest desire, and they said, oh, that we might see Jesus. Verse 23, and the Bible said, and Jesus answered them saying, he said, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And then he goes and he talks about the rest of the corn of wheat falling in the ground, and he talks about his own crucifixion and his own resurrection. Oh, my friend, why did I say that? I said that to simply say this, that there was those in the midst that day that wanted to see Jesus. They wanted to know him. And that is my desire this evening, and I believe it's your desire to know him. To get to the point that we know him. They wanted to know him. Paul, that great apostle. We read about Paul in several different places. Primarily in the book of Philippians, we see Paul in chapter number 3. We see him there, and we pick up reading in verse number 7. And he says this in the word. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. And I'll get into more of that in a little bit. He says, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them as but dung, that I may win Christ. In other words, what Paul was simply saying, what I'm telling you is no longer about me. He said, just let me say it like this, just hide me behind the cross. I count all things as loss for him, as he sees that, says that. And then he says in verse number 8, yet doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered loss of all things. In other words, Paul said, I have laid down everything in my life. I have laid down all my earthly desires and all my earthly wishes so that I might be everything that God. Now, you know that Paul was a persecutor. Paul was an intelligent man. He was a was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a Jew. He was schooled in all the things of the law. But yet on that road to Damascus, something, he had an encounter. And it was on that encounter in Acts chapter number 9. When Paul was there, his name was Saul at the time. He had a wonderful encounter with Jesus. And he cried out that day, "Who art thou?" And I believe this world today, they're crying out, "Who art thou?" And my friend, don't get mad at the preacher, but as long as a church is stuck in dead muck and mire in the mud of life and sin and everything that's going on in the world today, my friend, they'll never see Jesus. But you and I, when we finally get to the place that we say all things are lost for Him, I'm no longer worried about my life. I'm no longer worried about earthly gain and a mansion on the hillside. Oh, my friend, Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." And I truly believe that God is looking for a people, that God is looking for a church. He's looking for a young man that'll say, "Here am I, send me," as Isaiah did. He's looking for an old man, an elderly man, a man that's never had it, a woman that's never had it, somebody that says, "I'm too old, I've messed my life up so bad." My friend, if you're here breathing or you're hearing me preach tonight, it's not too late for you. I believe all you've got to do is raise up your eyes towards the heaven and say, "Who art thou, Lord?" And as Paul looked up into the heavens, he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And there was a revelation come to him at that moment. Jesus spoke to him and he said, "I am Jesus." My friend, at that time, Paul resigned it all and Paul gave it all to God. He was transformed from a man by the name of Saul to a man who was named Paul. And Paul went forth, you can read the rest of that. He was blinded. He went to Ananias' house. And then when he comes out of Ananias' house in Acts 9, what does the Bible say? He straightway preached Christ unto them. And my friend, this evening, Paul, when he wrote to the Philippians, he was preaching from a jail cell. He was preaching to them and telling them, "Hey, I'm not worried about the jail cell. I'm not worried about what I suffer on this side of glory, because I know that there's a better home awaiting. There's a better land awaiting." And no matter who you are this evening, I believe that all of us in this room this evening, if we had a fresh, brand new encounter with God Himself, we wouldn't be worried about everything we're worried about. We would only say, "Sirs, that I might see Jesus." And Paul, when you see Paul here, Paul says this. I love this in the scripture. And we see this in verse number 9, if you will. And he found in him not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. That's understandable, self-explanatory. But that which is through the faith of Christ. And Paul basically said, "I did not find what I was looking for in the law. I did not find him in the law. I found him in the fresh revelation of who Jesus Christ truly is. And I put my faith and my trust in him. The righteousness which is of God by faith." Verse number 10. And again, this is where we're at in this message today. God, we have a fresh revelation of Jesus, that we might know Jesus. Sirs, that we might know Jesus. Paul says this in verse number 10, "That I may know him." That I may know him. My friend, that is my heart's plea tonight. That is what God has drilled into my heart all weekend for these messages today. That the church gets back to the place that we may know him. That we know who Jesus is. You say, "Well, Pastor, I've been saved 38 years and I know who Jesus is." But my friend, don't get mad at the preacher. It would scare you to death if the good Holy Ghost of God and the great move of God would move upon us this evening. And I'm saying, God, it don't have to be an earth-shattering earthquake situation. He was not in the whirlwind. He was not in the lightning. He was not in the storm. But he was in the still, small voice. But my friend, whatever it takes for God to turn you and I around, God can just simply speak to our heart. And God can turn it around in your life, in my life. And he said, "But I want to know Jesus."
If there's anything in the church, excuse me, if there's anything in the church today that we've got to focus on that we might know Jesus, we got to know him. It's okay that your neighbor knows him. It's okay that your friends know him. It's okay that your Sunday school teacher knows him. But here's the thing, that we might know him. That we might know him for ourselves. When we look at this, we see again how that Paul said this in verse number 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul went on in verse number 12, and Paul simply says this. He says this again. He says this in the word of the Lord. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Somebody say, I've not arrived. I've not reached that pinnacle in the totality of everything I can ever get from God. But this one thing I'm doing, I'm going to continue to go after him. Paul said, I had not apprehended. Then Paul said, if you look at this, he said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Sometimes we have to forget our past, our failures, and everything that everybody ever done to us. Paul goes back and gives a testimony where he was beaten, he was denied, all these things that Paul went through. If you look at the life of Paul, and then he said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before me. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight. I don't know if anybody's in this room that this will make any sense to, but I need to tell somebody, yeah, you've went through everything you went through, and God seen you through it. God kept you through it. But I do say before God tonight that he's speaking to my heart, that somebody's hearing me tonight, that there is better days ahead. There is better days ahead. And the only way that better days are ahead is to put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the waters. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calms the sea, that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. And we've got to have him in the church today. We got to have him. Let me go back to where I was at this morning and meddle for a minute. I know me. I know me better than anybody knows me. And I'm just at that point this weekend. I'm tired of talking about church and not having church as we know what church should be. I'm tired of talking about having a relationship with Jesus and not really having that relationship with Jesus. I'm tired of going through just mundane services in and services out. We got to know him. And I'm praying, oh God, even now, burn out of me everything that's in me that ought not be in me. Change me, turn me, flip me upside down. Whatever you got to do, God, start in me. Start in the preacher. Put the blame in the pulpit tonight. God, start in the preacher. Oh God, burn revival into my heart. Burn everything out of me that ain't like you. Oh God, realign me, change me, refocus my attention. God, whatever you got to do, whatever you want to do, Lord, this one thing, that I may see Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to see him. I want to see him. You say, you ready to die, preacher? T.D. Jake says, I don't mind that I die, but I do care how I die. Are you saying you want to die to go see Jesus, to live as Christ, to die as gain? She knows it. Whatever God wants. I'm not as young as I used to be, and I'm not as old as I will be. But I'm telling you, whatever the case may be, to make your calling and your election sure whenever he's ready for you. One of the saddest things a preacher will ever have to do is stand over top of a coffin, a casket, and not sure that that person that's laying in front of him has been ready to go to heaven. I'm going to tell you something else sad. When you're sitting out there and I'm in this pulpit and you don't even know if this preacher's read his Bible this week. Hello? I'll tell you something else sad. When you're sitting out there and you're looking up here and the person up here is dead and dry and cracker juice. And I'm saying, God, do it again. Shake us up. Again, when we look into the Word of God, Paul said this. Paul said, not as though I'd apprehended. He said in verse number 14, I wasn't even going to read this. This was not in my text. But I believe it's for somebody this evening. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be complete, whole, perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal it unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. And then he said, brethren, this next verse, be followers together of me. And then he says, mark them which also walk so as you have us for an example. And he said, be followers of together. Fourth thing this evening, we see this, the Holy Ghost. You knew today was the day of Pentecost. The day was the 50th observance of Pentecost, if you would. When we look at the outpouring of the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts, and Brother Scott is going to walk through that over the next several Sundays, if you will. He done an excellent job on this morning. But I just wanted to say a couple of things about this, because when you look at this in Scripture, the Holy Ghost was being poured out on the day of Pentecost, when you see this as a revelation of Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost is as much about the revealing of Jesus as anything else in the Scripture, and I'll get into that in just a minute. I got to get Brother Scott on a little bit of the Scripture that you mentioned this morning. But when you look into the book of Acts chapter number 4, we see this in verse number 12, because the Bible says this in the Word. He says, neither is there salvation in any other name. There's no other way to be saved. There's no other way to get to heaven. There's no other way to get into the presence of God. The Bible says we have one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, that Jesus came and he stood as the mediator. He was the reconciler, if you will. He's the one that stood in the gap. He's the one that made up the hedge. He's the one that went to the cross for you and I. But anyway, we look at this Scripture and we see we're in verse number 12. Neither is there salvation in any other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Again, when we think about this, we think about this evening. It is God's desire for you and I to know Him. Jesus desired for those that was following Him on that occasion to be seen. On the road to Emmaus, as I read this morning, when John began to get the revelation, it was at that point that Jesus then desired John to see Him. Now, I don't know how many different faces of Jesus and how many different things that we see Him all the way throughout the book of Revelation. But yet there's several different places in the book of Revelation that John was able to get an insight into the life of Jesus. Again, when you look at this, we can see in Revelation chapter number 1, verse number 4. When you look at this, John, he opens this up to the seven churches. You know and I know what that's all about. It's these seven churches of the Asia Minor. The commentary talked about it as John would go into a sort of like a circle or a semicircle, if you will, and he went to all the churches that was there, and it talked about in the eye, the mind, if you will, to look at it as a mail route. Kind of odd, but that's exactly kind of the way it described it. As John would say a letter to Pergamos, he would take a letter to Philadelphia, he would take a letter to Smyrna, he would take a letter to Laodicea, and every one he would take this one message to them. And in all of those scriptures, we can see of how that John's message went to those churches. And this is what Jesus was saying there in verse number 4. He said, grace unto you and peace from him which is and was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. In verse number 5, the Bible says, and from Jesus Christ. Now watch this. It describes him who is the faithful witness. This was a letter to the churches from Jesus himself in the unveiling or the revealing and the uncovering, if you will. And it described Jesus as a faithful witness. He said that the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That was the description that was given to them of Jesus as these letters would first go forth, as where it would come from. Verse number 6, it says, and hath made us kings and priests unto God, and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look at verse number 7. He says, and behold, he cometh with the clouds. And I like this next part, because it says that every eye shall see him. You say, when is that going to take place? You're going to have to go back at the book, the end of the book of Revelation, and read where that when he comes back again, I think it's chapter 19 without turning there, where that there seems to be a war on heaven, in heaven. And you know what? It is a battle that is won and not one gunshot fired, because the word of God went forth out of his mouth in those that were slain before him, as the word of God would go forth out of his mouth. That's the Jesus in the book of Revelation that it talks about. Verse 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Verse 8 says, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and was and which is to come, the Almighty. All throughout the Word of God, there's descriptions that's given. But before I get into the latter part of this, we see that it is God's desire that all men see him. It's God's desire that you see him. Let me turn back here to the book of Acts just a few minutes in chapter number 17. There's a couple of verses there that I want to read. It's found here in verse number 30, if you will. A couple of verses of scripture, if I wrote them down correctly. And it said, and the times of his ignorance God winked at, but commanded all men everywhere to repent. I think I got the right one. I hope I did. If I didn't, I'm in the wrong place. And he said, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Look in verse 32. And it said, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter again. And so Paul departed from among them, howbeit certain men cleaved unto him and believed. When I read that, there's a little verse right there that said in the middle of this, the scripture right here, of how that the mission of the church was to get the message of the gospel delivered unto everybody that would hear them. And Paul again went forth. And even in Paul's day, there was those that mocked him. But yet we see in verse 34 that I'm not going to try to read these Greek names and all these names down there. But it said that they cleaved unto him and believed. And all these people and these women that was there. But the point that I wanted to make is simply this, that when they heard the message of Jesus, that the people cleaved unto Paul. The people cleaved unto him. Again, we think about this. We think about the message of the cross today. We think about people hearing the message of the cross. People are either going to cling to the cross or they're going to reject the cross. So it is God's desire that every man, boy, and girl know him. The next thing I see before I kindly wind down to a close here in a few minutes It says that we see the revelation of Jesus comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Brother Scott mentioned this in a few minutes this morning in the Sunday school lesson. That he comes by the power of the Holy Ghost. I want to go back and read these couple of verses. And I did not even know that Brother Scott was going to read these this morning. But I wanted to go back and read them to you again. We see in John 15 and 26. He says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth." Watch this. He says there in the Word, "which proceedeth from the Father, he the Holy Ghost." He's not going to talk about himself. He's not going to stand in the corner and do jumping jacks and say, hey, look at me. He said he's going to testify of Jesus. Even the Holy Ghost wants men, women, and boys and girls to see Jesus. Oh, that we would see him. Oh, that we would see him. When you look into this again, he says, again, when you say this, "he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witnesses, because you have been with me from the beginning." In John chapter number 16, looking in verse number 13, this is what the Word says. He says in verse number 13 there, he says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come," when he, the Holy Ghost, on this Pentecost Sunday, "even though I love singing and shouting and praising God and magnifying God, and I love everything that goes along with Pentecost, but real Pentecost has to do with people having an encounter with Jesus. Real Pentecost has to do with people seeing Jesus through the power of the Spirit." Hey, I'm going to tell you something. This is not in my notes nowhere. But if your understanding of Pentecost is simply to draw attention to yourself, you've got a warped view of Pentecost, and you got a very egotistical view of yourself as far as being filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, no, my friend. The Holy Ghost is always, 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 all the way throughout Scripture for one thing, and that is to edify the church and to edify Jesus. It's not for you or me to be Mr. Big Britches or Mrs. Big Britches. Oh, no, my friend. My friend, it is hide me behind the cross. Let them see nothing more but Jesus. Let Jesus be seen. Let Jesus be glorified. Let Jesus be magnified. Hallelujah. We see this again in the Scripture. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." He will guide you into all truth. Watch this. "For he," the Holy Ghost, "shall not speak of himself." How about that? Is that not interesting? The Holy Ghost does the work of the Father on earth today. Brother Scott brought that out greatly in Sunday school this morning. The Holy Ghost is here on planet earth doing the work of the Father. Jesus has went back to the throne of God. He's sitting at the throne, right hand of the Father. We know that because when Stephen was stoned, he saw Jesus at the right hand of God. Jesus is ever making intercession for the church, and he's there even now. But while Jesus is there as the intercessor, the Holy Ghost is here today as the Spirit of God moving among the candlesticks, if you will, moving among the church today. We need the Holy Ghost in our church today. Watch this. Not just to speak in tongues, even though we believe in all of that. We need the power of the Holy Ghost in the church today to reveal to the unbelievers and to the church the true meaning of who Jesus Christ truly is. He'll convict. Scott mentioned that. Let me meddle for a minute. And I got to be careful how I say this, lest I be misunderstood. Sinners are welcome to come to church. I want sinners to come to church. Let me say it the way I feel it. I'm uncomfortable with sinners coming to church, being in church, and being comfortable in their sins, and leaving church without being repentant of their sins. There's this old-fashioned word we used in the church years ago. We don't hear it much anymore. It's called conviction. Sanctification. But when you come into the awesome presence of God, and I'm meddling here for a minute, when you come into the sanctuary of God without any reverence, without any concern, any whatsoever, that you're in the presence of God Himself. I know for myself, I'd be in camp meeting, T.L. Lowry or Brother Hughes or Floyd Lahan or a Culpepper or a Brian Cutshaw or one of these guys that preached our camp meetings years ago. Brother Wes, I don't know if you ever did that or not, but if they'd start down the aisle preaching under the unction, man, I'd just draw up. I think, I hope they don't touch me. I hope they don't get too close to me. I did. Not that I was in sin, but it was just that I reverenced the presence of God that was upon them, and there was just something different about it. Whew. I don't know if I'm making any sense tonight. I'm saying, God, let us get back to the place and to the point that when we come to God's house, that it's more than a playground. That it's more than just, and please don't misunderstand me, it's more than just a place to rub elbows and shake hands and see your buddy. I love all that. I love every bit of that. I love shaking hands with all of you. But that's not what it's about. It is part of. But we got to see Jesus. Nor I don't even know where to stop this thing. We got to see Jesus. I love Brother Steve. I love him with all my heart. When I come to church, it's got to be more than me seeing Brother Steve. It's got to be more than me loving on Brother Cain, the oldest man in our congregation, as far as I know. It's got to be more than that. My heart's plea for this day has been, God, let the Thomasville Church of God get back to the place and to the point, hallelujah, that we want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus move in our midst. We want Him again. I'll just go ahead and meddle right here a minute. That whatever ails us will be healed. When we get into the presence of God, I've hobbled around here for 2 weeks, knee hurting like a toothache. Like you're driving an ice pick right in the side of my knee every day, day and night. And I'm going, God, he was at the gate, Brother Leon. He was there at the gate. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee, that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the Bible said, and immediately his ankle bones received strength. And he got up and he began to leap and to glorify God, and he went into the temple. I don't understand that, Brother Beckner. We talk about it, but we don't see it. People say, well, that you might as well. Now, I'm meddling a little bit here. I'm taking my liberty to meddle a little. People say, well, those days are gone. Those days is history, and we'll never see those days again. The devil is a liar. Shame on you. Well, I don't want to embarrass my friends when I invite them to the church. I don't like all that in the church. Phooey! It is that got the church of God to where the church of God was. And if we ever get back to the place we was, it's going to take it again. You can't have a revival in the smoke and in the embers of where revival used to lay. We're saying, God, we need a fresh fire. We need a fresh wind. We need a fresh wind of the Spirit. Now, I got totally off of that text right there. But he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he hears. Whatever he hears, that is what he's going to speak. And he will show you things that is to come, the Bible says. And the Bible says in verse 14, he shall glorify himself. He didn't even say that about the precious Holy Ghost. He said, I'm going to glorify Jesus. I want Jesus to be seen. I want Jesus to be revealed. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Verse 15 and 16. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Verse 16. A little while and you shall not see me. And again a little while and you shall see me. Because I go to the Father. A little while you're going to see me. He was seen after the resurrection. And then you're not going to see me no more because I go to the Father. But when you look into the book of Acts, chapter number 1, and I love this scripture, and we've all read it, we've shouted about it, we've read it over and over and over and over again. But this is what the Bible says, if you look at this in the scripture, and you look into this, and it says in the scripture, in the book of Acts, chapter number 1, verse number 8, that you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is upon you. Watch this. And you shall be witnesses. You shall be witnesses. Go and tell somebody what you've seen. Go and tell somebody what you've experienced. He said, and both witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. Look in verse number 9, if you will. And it says, and when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, and he went up, two men stood by them in white apparel. I love verse 11. Which also said, you men of Galilee, why are you standing looking up? Why are you standing gazing up into the heavens? He said, and this same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall come again in like manner as you have seen him go. You say, well, what does all of this mean this evening? When John was there in the book of Revelation and other places throughout the scripture, he had several different visions and he saw Jesus in a lot of different angles, if you will. He saw him who was the faithful witness, if you will. He saw him, as you look at him throughout the scripture, the first begotten from the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, the Alpha, the Omega, the first, the last, the Son of Man, he that was dead and who is alive forevermore, he who holds the seven stars, he who walked in the midst of the golden candlesticks, he who has a sharp two-edged sword. They saw him as the Son of God, and he who searches the reins of the heart. He again who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. He that is holy, he that is true, and he that is the key of David. He that openeth that no man can shut, and shutteth that no man can open. He is the final yea and amen at the end, and he's the faithful and the true witness. He's the beginning of all creation of God. He's the Lord of all, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the earth, the Holy Lamb of God. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's faithful and true. He's the rider on the white horse, the Word of God, Christ Almighty God, the God of the holy prophets, the beginning and the end, the bright and the morning star, and the Lord God omnipotent. That's all the things that John saw in the revelation of Jesus all throughout that book. And I'm saying, oh God, in this room here tonight again, that God, that we might see Jesus. Stand with me. That we might see Jesus. Lord, let me not go through this journey as a pastor and miss Jesus. Let me not do the things we do as a quote unquote church and miss Jesus. Let us not come and sit on pews and only listen to sermons and miss Jesus. I don't want to miss him. You say, well, all that was way back then, and part of that's prophecy, and all that's got to do with the book of Revelation and things that's not even happened yet. My friend, this same Jesus that you've seen go away shall come again, the rapture. We want to see him. We want to see him. But until then, you and I, by the power of the Spirit of God, can know him. We can know him in this room right now. Father, I pray that God, that our hearts be tender to the mercy of God, that we might see Jesus in this room, that our lives be filled with his presence, that our lives be a manifestation of Jesus inside of us, that people around us might see Jesus working through us. Oh, that God, that we might know him. As Paul, this great apostle, prayed, and this great apostle Paul cried out, that we might see Jesus. Father, let that be the plea of every heart. Let that be the cry of every heart under the sound of my voice, even right now, that serves that we might see Jesus. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. You know tonight where you are with God, and somehow or another, maybe you're in this room and things are not just where you would like for them to be in your relationship with Jesus. I just simply want you to raise up your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to see Jesus in a way like I've never seen him before. I want to know him in a way like I've never known him before. All around this room and hands being raised, I want us all collectively all around this room to come into agreement that the Thomasville Church of God stands together, that we all might see him, that we all might see Jesus in the church today, that there would be manifestations, wonders, and signs and wonders in the midst of the church. You say, Pastor, are you seeking signs and wonders? Oh, no. The Bible says that signs shall follow them that believe. And it was a manifestation of God in the signs that they saw. And they knew that they saw these men. They perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned. But they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Lord, let the world see us, that there's something different about us, that we have been with Jesus. And Father, we ask you this. We ask you this right now, in the name above every name, the name of the sacrificial Lamb of God, who sacrificed his life on the cross and gave himself a ransom. And Father, we love and honor and praise and thank you. Oh, God, we glorify your name. Hallelujah. Lord, let us see Jesus in this place. Hallelujah. Let us see Jesus in our lives again. Lord, let us not be satisfied. Oh, God, let us not be satisfied with just a little dabble, do you? Oh, but God, let us get to the fountain this evening. Let us get to the river this evening. Let the river flow, oh, God, over every home and family in this place. God, we ask you this in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm a candidate. Lord, I want it to happen in me. God, I make myself available. I make myself available unto you tonight, oh, God. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise in the house tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sometimes it might take a little bit of seeking. Seek me and you shall find me, Jeremiah 29:13. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. He teaches us in the book of Isaiah, seek me while I may be found. You might not have got everything you wanted in this service tonight, but I'm going to say this to you this evening. If you'll begin to seek God more than you seek anything else, I believe that it might be in your midnight hour. You might be laying in your bed in the middle of the night, and the Holy Ghost come on you in the middle of the night. I've heard it happening more than one time, and people have an encounter with God in their private moments, in their private times. Moses in the cleft of the rock said, Lord, show me your glory. He wanted to see him. And that's where we're at this evening in this service. Show us your glory, Lord. Let your presence be revealed. Go home hungry. Not hungry for a bowl of cereal like I am, but go home hungry for a move of God in your life. If I could just come over there and throw a little pixie dust on you and say, whoop, there it is, I'd do that. But it don't work like that. I can lay hands on you, and they receive the Holy Ghost with the laying on of the hands. But you, my friend, if I could give it to you tonight, I would. But you know what? It comes from you seeking God and saying, God, here I am. I want you, God, more than anything else in my life. I love you. God bless you. Go home shaking hands and being friendly to your neighbor. And we'll see you Wednesday night. I'm expecting the glory to come Wednesday night. We're going to be praying and seeking God. Hey, make your way out Wednesday night if you can. In Jesus' name.